Blog Talk Radio.
Now, in its second edition, Carol Dean's popular book, The Art of Film Funding, has 12 new chapters to cover all areas of film financing and how to avoid expensive pitfalls. Learn how to start with an idea and end with a trailer. How to make an ask for money. Create your story structure and your trailer. Legal advice. Fair use. Successful crowdfunding. How to ask for music rights. And what insurance you can't shoot without. Available on Amazon under Carol Dean and at FromTheHeartProductions.com. Hi, and welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Papin, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding. Carol is also the founder and president of From the Heart Productions and the host of this show. We have a wonderful guest for you today, Marie Paquin. After being lured to the United States and being rescued from captivity, she decided to continue her studies and career as an artist. She received her doctoral degree in French literature at, I'm hoping I say this correctly, Coimbra University, Portugal, at the age of 28 years old. That's still pretty young. Marie worked on Vanilla Sky and The Last Samurai. And as an actress, she worked with Tom Ribbon's groundbreaking actors gang troupe in Culver City. And as a producer, writer, and actress, Marie is the driving force behind Land of the Free, Except for Me, which is her personal documentary in progress. Carol Marie worked with From the Heart as her fiscal sponsor for her successful Indigo campaign as well, right?
Yes, and Marie did a marvelous job learning a new art form, because crowdfunding on Indiegogo is, believe me, a lot of things to learn, and she was very successful. So thank you for joining us, Marie.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for the invitation. I'm very honored to talk directly to Carol and to you, Claire. Thank you so much. And it was a learning journey for me, the crowdfunding, something new for me. I did try 3 years ago the first time, but it was not successful. So I learned with my mistakes, obviously. And 3 years later, we decided to do it again. But this time I had a strong email list. I decided to follow the tips and all the instructions of Carol about the 5,000 email friends that I did a database, put together 5,000 people. And obviously the first was my family, my best friend, then people that I met 2 years ago, one year ago, and we put the database together, and we decided just to do that way. And I decided to hire also 2 interns, and also a close friend of mine, Lisa Pellegrin, who helps me with the grants. She helped us tremendously. She was a mentor for us how to be successful with our Indiegogo campaign. We learned to use social media via Facebook and Twitter, and Facebook has been really marvelous for us. It was a tremendous help. And emails is great because it's very personal. And Facebook also was a great way of a great resource of publicity. And we decided, to go to. I would spend 7 hours just on Facebook updating our page, what I did, and putting my mother's photos. If I would go to a red carpet, what I did, or articles about myself, like Santa Monica Mirror, because I live in Santa Monica, California. And our community in Santa Monica, they were incredible for us. They really supported us. And Santa Monica Mirror, the newspaper, really, they are like one of my fans. So every time I am on the red carpet or I have something new, we're always in this article, in the first page, and definitely helped us tremendously with our Indiegogo campaign. So basically we use all kind of media as possible to be successful.
Well, this is brilliant. Now, the thing is that usually most people find they don't get a good response, a financial response from the Facebook people, but obviously you were doing something right. So You did. You found Facebook. People went and donated to your campaign.
Absolutely. And, you know, I will, you know, my friends, they started say, hey, I donated to do as I did. I will tell little by little my own experience, but I will be not pushy. I will just use my own sense of humor, being positive, and, you know, I will reach out new people. I also did promotion tools via Facebook, something new that I didn't know in the past, but I did, and it worked really tremendously. I realized that when we started, we had only 136 friends. Right now, we offer close to 600 friends, people that are requesting our friendship every day. Why? Because I decided to use the promotion tools via Facebook, and that helped tremendously. But also, it was, you know, I was being interviewed, every article about me, if I would have a TV appearance, which I did, and I have to be honest, any real campaign, it didn't help me just with donation. It really helped me to get U.S. theatrical distribution, believe me or not. It helped me tremendously to get TV appearance for CNN Latino and living in America. It was Indiegogo campaign. So Indiegogo campaign, it didn't only help me just with donation, but also to spread the word about my project and go to TV appearance. And when you have that, then you touch a large audience. So obviously the possibilities to succeed with your Indiegogo campaign, it's bigger. So basically I took advantage, and I would obviously you know, spend hours on Facebook, but I would update everything on my daily basis. And our fans and the people that are following us were incredible. I have one amazing experience, actually. I have a lady call me from Washington, D.C. She spent 5 hours on the phone. She was asking me questions. And she said, well, I would like to give you $2,000, but I want to know where the money goes, what is your goal, what you want to do with this motion picture. And I'm like, well, I explained to her everything, and I was surprised after we finished our phone call. Actually, a husband was in hospital, very sick, and she said she was giving the $2,000 because she wanna, you know, she was very religious. She said, I'm gonna do this because I want my husband to get better. And I said, I'm gonna pray for your husband, and also I'm gonna put a candle. And I remember that I took a picture of the candle, and I had the time to send to her, and I put it on Facebook. And by surprise, I realized that she gave us $3,000.
How marvelous!
I spent 5 hours on the phone with her. I didn't know who she was. She's an incredible, it was one of the angels, like, with a big heart. She spent she spent 5 hours. She had the time to know more about human trafficking. She didn't know. And she said, thank you so much for learning about this. Now I can teach my children, I can teach my grandchildren about this problem and how to prevent. And I said, yeah, to prevent, it is knowledge. And that was the way. It's a beautiful story that I always like to share, because it's one of the few people really called me directly and wanted to know more, and wanted to hear my voice, wanted to hear my energy, and she wanted to know how I did overcome with my problem. So it was really beautiful. Yes,
well,
it was a great experience.
Marie, any of this that you shared with her, you want to tell us about your film? Because we haven't even touched yet on this Land of the Free, except for me. That's a really good title.
Thank you. There is a story behind, actually. You know, our film has been a journey of 4 years. Almost 5 years. We started writing the script on May 2009, and we finished on June 2009. And believe me or not, we got our first distribution deal with Portugal on 2009. I still have the letter of intent with the date. I guess we did something right with the script. Script is everything. It's not just the story itself. It is the script. It's everything. And so we were very focused. Peter and I, my co-writer, we wrote 16 drafts of the script. But talking about Land of Free, except for me, It is a motion picture. There is a quality for documentary, and why? Because I'm playing myself, but there is two more actors, they're playing themselves. My own mother, she's going to play herself, and also another actor that is actually a big name, which I'm not mentioning right now. I'm still dealing with him, see if he can play himself, but it is something that is very dramatic and tragic in his real life, but he's actually a big name. And so we'll be like three actors playing themselves. So we call our film like a hybrid. There is a documentary style, but it is a motion picture. And it's very unique for Lander Free, except for me. Lander Free, because we know United States, it is a symbol of Lander Free. And except for me, actually, this idea didn't came from me. It came from a PR that actually, his name is Michael. Michael used to work all the time with Clint Eastwood, and I met him in the Oscars, I think in 2011, if I'm not wrong with the date, with the time in the year. But I went to a party, and it was an Oscar party. I decided to talk to him very, very briefly about our project and my experience. Then he said, what is the name of your film? I said, Land of Free. And he said, well, it's too general. I said, oh, really? What do you think? So he said, well, as a PR person, I think you should change the title. I think you should call Land of Free Except for Me, because it wasn't for you, at least for the first 3 years. And I realized that, it's intriguing. He's right, but also very ironic. So I felt it is very catchy, and our fans, a lot of people, they respond really well regarding the title Land of Free Except for Me. There we go. So he has a credit. So my friend Michael has a credit for the Land of Free, except for me, helping us with the title. But that's the way it happened. That's a little story.
Well, thank you. Now tell us, you just threw something in really quick, that you were a prisoner for 2 years?
I was captive for 3 years. I was lured. I was very young. I was at that time I was finishing my master's degree. I was 19. And I met this American exchange student. He knew to speak French. He was very polite. He was very nice to me. We dated for a year. I fell in love, and, you know, I guess love is a very powerful force. And I decided to go against my parents' will, and I came to the United States. And that time I didn't know to speak English, but I decided to, you know, take the chance and go with him. He said he could not live without me, so I believed in him. And I came to the United States, and we got married a week later. And then the day of my wedding, it started my nightmare. So I was captive for 2.5 years in a dark room. Yeah. And it's been it was a nightmare, yes.
And that's the basis for the film?
Absolutely. The basis of the film, it is how I was lured, and also who did rescue me, which is the FBI, and the relationship with the man that rescued me, which is an FBI agent that I lived for 6 years, and that's the base of our story. But for me, what is the most important about this film, it's a film of inspiration, and it has a very positive energy and a very positive message. It's how I did overcome and how I became the person that I am today, through the troubles, through the nightmare, and really in the end, what really saved me was love. And I think today we need more films about that, about love. We see a lot of films about violence, and that there is no morality. And, you know, we see kids, they're 8 years old, they're 9, 10 years old, and they kill other kids because they watch those movies and they think it's cool to be bad. And I realized that, you know, as an actress and as a writer, as an artist, I think it's our responsibility to educate people through films, why we tell stories. Because we want to inspire, we want to entertain, we want to educate through art. And I think I had that responsibility, and I wanted to share my own experience to serve as a model of experience and an inspiration for others, that they are going through the same experience. If not, you know, everybody can be a slave in different forms. You know, I was a slave as a human trafficking, but there is other people that are slaves of addiction, like, you know, drug addiction. Some people, they are slaves of the past. Some people, they are slaves of lies. Some people, they live, you know, there are different forms of slavery. So, and our script is about that too. So.
That is brilliant. So, so it's a film about hope, survival, and achieving. Well,
achieving, exactly.
Because you have been doing that in your life. In other words, you first you got the degree in your degree was in French literature. Then you come to America after you were saved and released from captivity. Then you started acting. Is that right?
I started acting actually when I was three. I did my first commercial in 1980. I was 3 years old for Champlain Johnson, but it was a French commercial because that's where I was living. And then I did another show called Côte Vacances. It's pretty similar as in Sesame Street for kids. I was performing there as a dancer and as a little actress. And then in Portugal, I did some soap operas because in Portugal, we're very well known for soap operas. We like Brazil. So I did that. Then I stopped to continue my studies. And then when I was rescued, actually the first year I was recovering, so I was not thinking to go acting again, but I went to Santa Monica College for a year to learn English. And actually, I learned English pretty fast because I studied Latin for 8 years. I could have chose English when I was a kid, but I chose Latin. I thought it was unique. It was something different. And actually, I'm very glad that I did that choice because it helped me tremendously to learn English because actually 60% of English is based on Latin, more than people they think, but it is. And it was easy for me to learn the language very fast. So I was 1 year at Santa Monica College, and I went to UCLA for 3 months, and then I transferred to Coimbra, Portugal, to do my doctorate. And there I started again to do commercials back and forth in France, Portugal. But I was more in a research level because I didn't want to be a professor. I knew exactly what I wanted to be. But I was starting doing commercials again. And then by age 28, when I finished, I came back to the United States again with my boyfriend and then, you know, doing auditions and getting parts. And I started with independence and I started with short films. I had to start brand new again and learn American accent, getting better with my English. It was a long journey.
Well, I agree. But you certainly have a lot of tenacity, Marie.
Yes, I do have a lot of tenacity. I think that's probably I did survive because I didn't realize that when I was 19 or 20, but I was very, very strong, and it made me strong. And a lot of people, they have those wrong stereotypes, like, oh, my God, if when you go through, when you become a survivor of human trafficking and you go through so much torture, how can this person cannot live in society again, cannot live again? It's not true. It's not true. I met so many remarkable women and men. They went through the same experience that I did, and they're remarkable human beings. They are married, they have kids, they have a normal life, and I think we take life very seriously. We live the present. We want to live life like, you know, like it's our last day. We give more value to life when you lose your freedom. And you're so close to death. I think you give more value about it. And I think my tenacity and my determination comes from that. I give value to life, and I'm very grateful to be alive today because I almost passed away. So I'm very grateful to be alive.
How wonderful. I have had some experiences with prisoners of war. My friend belongs to this group, and they meet for lunch, and I get to go and listen to the things that the horrors they went through. And what I have found is that you could divide them into two groups, Marie. One group became high achievers, like you are, and the other group decided all they wanted to do when they got home was to care for their family, have a small job somewhere that they could retire and just spend all the time with their loved ones. So, but you seem to have a balance going between both of those.
I do. Family is important for me, and because it's my rock. You know, my mother and my father and my boyfriend in that time, they were my rock. And I am here because of them, I have to be honest. My mom and my dad, they never judged me. My ex-boyfriend never judged me. And somehow we were very connected in a way because, you know, people, they don't know, but FBI agents, they have a tough life. It's not easy. They live with death every day. And they have their own experience. And I think we were close. We were very close to each other because of that. And I have something very unique between us. And he was a slave in his own. And that you have to come to see the movie, then you'll understand. But the love really saved me. And they believed in me. They gave me faith. Of course, when I was rescued, I had a lot of guilty. I hate myself. I didn't like myself. I could not look myself in the mirror. I thought I was ugly. I thought everything happened because of me. It was poor me, poor me, poor me. But thank God my parents and my ex-boyfriend at that time, they actually gave me encouragement, saying, you are beautiful. It's not your fault what happened. It could happen to anyone else. And they said, just be focused on what you love to do. And that's what I did. I finished my studies, and what I love to do is to be an artist, to tell stories. And I just decided to be very focused on that. And actually, it's very interesting. I used to do auditions, and I will always get parts of women being abused or they have mental disorders. And it was interesting because I got very close to the characters because they knew pain. And it was a way for me to express myself because, you know, in the real life, sometimes you cannot show that dark side. But as an actor, you know, you have that ability, and people they don't criticize you, they applaud you. So I find the secret is, well, I'm going to show my dark side in front of the camera and play a character. And I remember some directors, they would come to me and say, God, it was so real. Are you okay? I'm like, yes, I am okay. I know pain. That would be my answer. Yeah. That's basically, it's, you know, it was therapeutic. For me, being a performer, it was very therapeutic because sometimes when you have a side, usually characters, they choose the actor. Not the actor chooses the character. It's usually the character. And if you go to an audition and you see a character that is very close to you and you can express yourself, that's when you give it the best of yourself and then you get the part. It's a secret that a lot of actors, they don't know. It is the character that chooses you. You have to express yourself, not to impress. And obviously, the characters, you're very, very close to me, and I could express myself freely, I would get the part. I already knew it. So.
You must be very good because you got to work with Tim Robbins. And
absolutely. I did three auditions. My friend of mine, Stephanie Carey, she was with Tim Robbins too. And she recommended me, and I did an audition in front of him. He was very scary. Not scary, he was a very nice guy, but, you know, it's Tim Robbins.
Right.
So,
right.
And I remember I did the audition, and suddenly he asked me, okay, can you do French and Portuguese and Spanish? I'm like, yes. Okay, let's do French right now. I'm like, yeah, but I can't translate right away. That's okay, do an improvise. Let me hear it. And that's what I did, and then I got inside. You know, oh. I did in French. I did. It was funny. Very funny, but it was cool. I had a great experience because they do Commedia dell'arte, and that
yeah.
is, you know, what actors' gangs they have is the Commedia dell'arte. And I came from Commedia dell'arte because my doctorate is about Commedia dell'arte, Molière. And it was very unique, so I knew that I was in the right house because that was my background too. And I'm a huge fan of Molière. I think he's a brilliant writer and a brilliant comedian, and he could not write tragedies. But, you know, his comedies are very, very intelligent and very simple, even though it's a very complicated French. It's like reading Shakespeare. So for us, it's the same thing. It's a different language. It's very challenging. But if you do understand his language and his mind frame and the time and the history of the time, you know, it's fun to play the characters that Molière created, because he was a genius of his time. He really
Absolutely.
Made a big change. Yeah, he made a big change for France, because, you know, he's actually the pioneer of the French Revolution. It took 200 years later, but he was a pioneer because you know, you would do plays in front of the king, you were criticizing so badly, but the king was so dumb that he didn't see it. Because Molière was so, he was very, very subtle. He was very, very unique. He knew how to make people laugh, even if they were criticized about it. He just, you know, not everybody has a gift. And on the street, he would also create little small farces for people on the street, because 2% of friends knew to read and to write. The 98% were totally, you know, ignorant. They didn't know how to read, didn't know how to write. So Molière wanted to educate the population to show the reality of the church and the reality of the court and the decadence. And so he did it, and he educated the population. And so he is a pioneer, and also gives freedom to women, because he brought women to the stage. And they said the first pornographic scene, it was from his play called L'École des Femmes. It's when the actor kissed the arm of the actress. It's the first pornographic scene, believe me or not. It's very funny. I could go on.
Oh, this is great, great. Well, obviously, once you got into acting, then you moved to line producing. And was that, were you thinking about doing your own film when you studied and got a job as a line producer?
It's a great question. When I did that, I just wanted to learn. I realized that I had an accent, and sometimes you have to create your vehicle. So I was thinking about future, present and future, and also to get connected with the real people from industry. So I had the chance to work as an intern and with Paula Wagner, and I learned about line producing. So I was not a line producer. I was just an intern. But I learned a lot about business, how it works, everything about behind the camera. It was very, very important for me to know, you know, how to structure, how to do a budget, how to do a shooting schedule, a timeline, how to hire actors, how to hire a good producer, how to hire, how to get in contact with a director. So I learned everything, even how to get the extras, which companies you should be in touch with. So I learned everything. It was very, for me, it was absolutely amazing. And that really helped me with this film that I'm producing right now. It took years later, from 2001, you know, if we think about it, it was just in 2009 I started producing this film. So, but it really was a good learning. It was really gold for me to learn about producing. So it was really, and the good thing about Vanilla Sky, and just something that I was not expecting it, but I remember one day I came to the set, I had jeans, a T-shirt, and I was simple, I had no makeup, and Cameron Crowe came to me and said, Marie, I want you to go to the makeup artist. He's going to give you some wardrobe and some makeup, and you come back. I'm like, why? Do I look dirty? And like, no, you don't look dirty. Just do what I'm asking. And I did. And suddenly, I was in front of the camera. And, you know, I have Tom Cruise, and Cameron Crowe was directing me. And that's where I got my side part. And Cameron Crowe told me, well, you should be in front of the camera, not behind the camera.
Oh.
So that's where
my
I got
God.
My side part.
Oh, how marvelous. Wasn't that a great gift?
It was a great gift. I know. It was unexpected. Totally unexpected. But I believe, you know, life is great. Life is beautiful because it's so unpredictable. And when you fight too much for something, that's when you don't get it. But when you don't fight for it, that's when things come to you. And I was not, you know, I was just learning about the producing side. I was not really, you know, I'll give you a headshot. I'm an actress. I was not doing that. It just really happened. So it was great. So I had a very good experience. That's the way I became SAG. That's a little secret.
Well, now, are you the producer on the film you're working on, The Land of the Free? What titles are you? You're a co-writer. Are you the producer, too?
Peter Lewis is my co-writer. He's my associate producer. And he's the vice president of Utopolmia Film, obviously. He's a very good friend of mine. We're like brothers and sisters. He was my roommate, introduced by my friend, that she was a member of the actors' gang. And the first year, you know, we were not really talking too much to each other. I was doing auditions all the time. My manager came one day to me and said, well, Marie, you should create, I think it's time for you to create your own vehicle, because you know how to write, and history, you know, you know a lot about history, you should do it. I'm like, okay, I have to think about it. And I started doing some research, and I faced with human trafficking. And believe me or not, even when I was rescued, I didn't know anything about human trafficking. Daniel, my ex-boyfriend, didn't tell me the truth. And so I found some things that were very similar to my, not really similar to my story, but the way they were lured, the way they were seduced. And I realized that, okay, I need to know who I am. And so I called my ex-boyfriend, and we had a long talk, and I asked him, who am I? And he said, what do you mean, who am I? Well, I want to know. Because, you know, I was with this monster. He forced me to work in a restaurant. I was kept it. I was in a dark room for 2.5 years. And then 3 or 4 or 5 months in a restaurant, everybody was not talking to each other. I saw people sleeping in the back of a restaurant. Tell me, who am I? And he said, well, you're a survivor of human trafficking. You're a victim of human trafficking. So why you didn't tell me in that time? Because you were very angry. You will never accept that you're a slave. And okay. And so now now it is the best time to tell me. He said, well, I guess it is. And it was very interesting. And I felt, why not tell my story? And I didn't say anything to my co-writer just in the middle of the script. He said, Marie, you know the story so well. It's so much in your mind. It's like you lived this. And then I decided to tell him the truth. Ironically, Peter, he was teaching me American accent with a book about Abraham Lincoln and about slavery, ironically. So it was very, very interesting. Then later on, he finds out that actually I was a survivor of human trafficking. He was totally shocked. And then I have to go through Daniel to get the rights. I told him, well, I want to say this. I want to tell our story. I want to, you know, I want to teach them how the FBI they work. I want to do this. I want to do that. I have all these people. They came to my life. They're part of my life. I want them in the script. So what should I do? Well, you have to get the rights. The most difficult to get the rights was from the FBI because it's still an ongoing criminal case. And it takes 25 years after the story becomes released, public released. My parents, when I was rescued, they talked with the FBI and they make sure that it was uncovered. They didn't want that to be on newspapers, in news, or anywhere they could find it. Because I had the name in Europe, and I was very ashamed what happened to me, and I was very vulnerable at that time, and I felt it was the best to keep everything secret. So they made everything possible that no one could, you know, no media could get it, you know, knocking my door, ask, well, what happened to you? What are you missing? You missed for 3 years, almost 4 years. Why we don't see you on TV? What happened? So I didn't want those questions. I was not ready for that. I was too angry. And so basically they protected me very well in that way, and I'm very glad they did.
Oh, yes, I'm sure you are. That's brilliant. Well, I met your mother, and what a charming woman she is. And she lives over here now in America?
My mom, she's with me right now, yes. She is always between France, Portugal, and United States. But right now she's with me. She's getting ready for singing because my mom, she sings fado. Fado, it's a Portuguese music, typically from Portugal, and it's very soul. It's a very soul music. It's like singing, crying. It's an ability that very few people, they have it. My mom started singing when she was 3. My grandfather, my grandmother, they used to sing all the time. And my mom actually came from a family of 14 children, and she was the youngest in the family. And my mom born when my grandmother was 50 years old. But she had a huge memory. She would memorize everything, and then she learned how to improvise music in verses. I mean, she's just this very intelligent woman. And she has a beautiful voice. And I said, well, I have to have that in the movie, you know. I have to have my mom's face again on TV, on a film.
Wonderful.
Yes, it is very special. It's very special. She's still a good voice. Right now she's 79, but she can still sing really well. And people are like, my God, if someone can be 79 years old, they can be able to sing like that. Well, ask her. It just has a good throat. She never had a sore throat like I did. I have so many. She never been sick with your throat. So she just says, you know, she asked many times, where's your secret? And she said, well, I sing from my head. I'm like, okay.
Well, she's very beautiful, and so she loves you so much. I saw that when I met you at the Law Studio that night, it was really an honor to meet your friend and your mother.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much for inviting to see that play. It was marvelous. It was so funny. I had my two favorites. It was the first one and then the kid. I think it was even one of the last. I really loved it. It was a great fun among that. My mom, she was like a kid watching. She would not understand very well, but she could at least read the concept in her mind, or she could imagine, and she really loved it. It was fun. A lot of laughs.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. And Cinda Jackson, who's the artistic director of the Law Studio, put together a series of 10 short plays and gave us the intermission. And we got to see new playwrights work or people who are well-known in Los Angeles for their plays. And she was successful, and we all said, do it again. And so she's doing one for Valentine's Day. So I'll be glad to comp you some tickets if you want to go. It's not on Valentine's Day. She's doing a Thursday night, 8 o'clock performance, and a Sunday evening performance, I think, both at 8 o'clock. So choose one, and we'll set up some tickets for you.
Oh, that would be great. I would love to. I had a great fun. I think theater, it's very important to keep it alive. It is the first form of telling stories. And, you know, we cannot allow technology to let die theater. Theater, it's the mother of every actor. Every actor has to do theater to become a very good actor. I did theater, and I learned a lot from it because, you know, in the film, it's easy to be in front of the camera. If you make a mistake, you can repeat it again over and over and over again. With a play, you cannot do that. You have to be on the character from the beginning until the end. And if you make a mistake, you have to be able to improvise and be able to listen. So theater, I always recommend it to every actor. Even if you start before start film, do theater because, you know, you're dealing with a lot of people watching you. And so if you're able to do that, then you will be able to do auditions and do camera. It's a different kind of pressure, but it's a different type of language too. But theater, it is the, you know, it is the beginning. Everyone should do a theater in the beginning.
Absolutely. Oh, you're so right. Well, Marie, I just want everybody to know that you have a trailer on YouTube that has over 70,000 views. I think that's a great achievement.
Absolutely, from nothing. Believe me or not, that mini documentary, I knew exactly what I wanted. I want light, and I want darkness. I want mountains. I knew we had the music because we had the rights for the soundtrack with two bands, actually three bands. But I felt what was right for the documentary. We had a very good director, came up with an idea. I was like, oh, that's boring. And that's not a good way to tell a story. So I asked Peter, my co-writer, and I told him, look, we don't want to have nothing scripted. It's going to be totally improvisation. You ask me the questions, I will answer. But I knew in the beginning I want light, the Marie of today. And then towards the end we see the river, the water, because river, water is the symbol of life. You know, it's a journey. It never stops. And we should let it go, like the river. We should do the same. We should always look in front of you, not never behind. So I had this idea. Everything is symbolic. And then there's a moment that actually really I show my vulnerability. I start crying. I opened my heart. And I did that because I want people to feel it, to show my little darkness, my little wound that was still there. And believe me or not, we made that documentary for zero budget. We just had a camera, and I went to Malibu, and that's it. And believe me or not, it was in CNN Latino. Peter and I were like looking at each other like, wow, people, they think this is it was made with a 35-millimeter camera? No, it was a normal digital camera.
Wow.
I think we just did right with the editing.
Yes. It's very compelling. You can't stop listening and watching. And you changed people. I mean, you changed into different characters during that. And watching you go from the light to the dark and back to the light was really inspiring for me.
Absolutely. Well, it's, I think, also very important when you do an Indigo campaign is to have a very good video. And more personable you are, better. And I think the secret also crowdfunding is to have something really strong, which, you know, when you're presenting yourself, who you are. And I think our video helped tremendously with our Indigo campaign, obviously. And we did right. It, like I said, you just have to express yourself and be personable and show your different sides of yourself. Of course, depending on the product that you're trying to sell, but be personable and why it's so important for you and show your passion and your heart.
Well, you certainly did that. Well, I just wanted to say to you that I have been watching people who do their Indiegogo campaign, and then they take a break for 6 to 7, 8 months, and then they do another one. And they're very successful at this. One woman did 3 campaigns about 4 or 5 months apart, and instead of going out and trying to raise the full amount at once, she broke it into, I think she did 20,000 the first one, 25 the second one, and 25 the third one. So, 70,000 she raised altogether. But this is an idea. So you may want to consider coming back to, and doing another Indiegogo in the spring.
Well, it is in our thoughts. It is definitely in our thoughts right now. But also with I think it works differently for each person. On our case, because we were so advanced with our film, even I think I told you the first time we did an Indiegogo was 3 years ago. And obviously we didn't know anything, and we were not successful in the first time because we didn't know, we didn't follow your tips, and of course it was wrong what we did. And now we knew how to do it. We got a great mentor, which was Lisa Pellegrin. We had 2 interns. I knew exactly what I wanted, but also we're a stronger team because I had a strong team behind. It was, you know, we have a full package. And actually, you know, we actually got also our first investor. We got just got our first 100K also.
Congratulations.
Money. Yes, and it was also through Indiegogo campaign, everything through Indiegogo campaign. So basically, we got the $15,000, but then we got our first investor with equity investment. Say, well, you know, do you have an investor ready investing for your film? No, I would like to have to the first money, like the seed money, and pay a casting director, to pay an entertainment lawyer, things that are necessary. And then he said, well, I'll give you $100,000. As equity, you know, he said, I want to, you know, do investment with you, and there we go. So actually, Indiegogo campaign really worked. It was very successful in every way for us. Got us equity financial investment, got us CNN, got us radio appearance, got us articles, so many articles. You don't even know. I've been probably like 5 or 6 different newspaper articles. One of them actually talks about Indiegogo campaign. Really helped us tremendously. So we got everything from Indiegogo campaign in every way. It's the way you present yourself to the world, I guess. And, you know, everyone is different. But I don't mind to do another one if it's necessary, obviously. It's something that's on our mind. We'll see.
That's a great way. Keep it open. Keep your mind open. Well, all right. So we want to know, everyone wants to know how to follow you so we can watch your progress with the film. So what is your website and any other, your Facebook, whatever else you want to give us, please?
Absolutely. Well, my website is www.utopia. So it's U as an umbrella, T like Tom, O, P like Paul, IA, Lumiere, L like light, U as an umbrella, M like Marie, IERE, films, plural, .com. So www.utopialumierefilms.com. That's our website. You can find us also on Facebook, Utopia Lumiere. You just type Utopia Lumiere, Orlando Free Except for Me, which is our fan page, and also on Twitter, Utopia Lumiere Films.
Oh, my, that's marvelous. Thank you so much, Marie, for the inspiration and for the story. And we all wish you great success with your new film production.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for inviting me. It was an honor to talk to you personally. I met you personally. It was great. But, you know, to be in the radio with you is wonderful. It's a great, to be a great experience and share my experience with you. And such a wonderful woman that helps, you know, artists to get this started. And that's very, very important to have people like you. So, you know, I think you're an angel in this world. Thank you so much.
Oh, how kind. Thank you, Marie. Thank you, Claire. Thanks
Absolutely.
For all your work.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, yes. And again, Marie, thank you as well from my heart to yours. And to all the listeners, thank you for joining us today. And we have plenty more wonderful interviews lined up for the rest of this year that Carol and I have been discussing. Since it's so early in the year, we have a lot of wonderful guests lined up, and the list will continue to grow, so please join us again. Good day, everyone.
Lots of love, Marie.
Lots of love to you, Carol, and lots of love to you, Claire. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Blog Talk Radio.
Now, in its second edition, Carol Dean's popular book, The Art of Film Funding, has 12 new chapters to cover all areas of film financing and how to avoid expensive pitfalls. Learn how to start with an idea and end with a trailer. How to make an ask for money. Create your story structure and your trailer. Legal advice. Fair use. Successful crowdfunding. How to ask for music rights. And what insurance you can't shoot without. Available on Amazon under Carol Dean and at FromTheHeartProductions.com.
I want to remind our listeners that David Raiklin is a brilliant and talented award-winning musician who scores films and can compose music for a trio or for a full orchestra. David is a very good friend to the independent filmmaker and comes highly recommended by From the Heart Productions. If you need music to help tell your story, please contact him at davidraiklin.com. That's David, RAIKLEN.com. And Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to The Art of Film Funding. Please visit our website at FromTheHeartProductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good luck with your films, everyone.